friend, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Emmanuel, the light of the world.
Allow me to start out with some scripture, life-changing words from God's Word. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That aspect of faith, of being able to believe in something that we cannot see, is so critical. It's the basis of our faith. And we need to believe that God is. That's the starting block. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We also believe that the words that he says in his word, that there are other beings, there are enemies that we cannot see. And there's a spiritual war going on that we cannot see. But we're also to believe and have faith that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we're going to remind ourselves of that with this first song. So would you sing along? Bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough,
tears. There'll be no condemnation here.
You are holy, righteous, and redeemed. Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough,
that I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, he's greater.
I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
He's greater, he's greater.
There will be days that I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, he's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me.
Greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Well, good morning, church. Glad that you have joined with us in worship this morning. And I just want to encourage you to stick through this whole message, this whole service, because I believe the Lord has a word for us. Just want to bring you up to date on a few announcements. The women's ministry begins a new Bible study utilizing Zoom Classroom, and that will start later this month. You can sign up for your classes, and they'll be on Monday evening and Wednesday morning. The details will be on the website. I encourage you to go to yourc3.org/women. Also, we have another grief share starting, and it will be a new series that will be starting on Friday evenings, May 1st. And again, this will be on Zoom as well, and I believe it starts at 6:30. More information on the website. I encourage you to go to that. And then this is the last week that we will be conducting our doctor drive to supply two homes dedicated to medical staff who can't go home. And again, there's details there. We're supplying some things for them. We encourage you to be reaching out during this time. I've talked to many people, and when you're isolated, it's hard, but we're really not isolated. So feel free to send in prayer requests. I encourage people to jump into our Wednesday Zoom prayer meeting. We have had more people at prayer meeting consistently than we have really ever had. So that's a good thing. And so I want to encourage you to be part of that. We really spend the first 20 minutes or so just reading scriptures and glorifying God and putting our focus on Him. So I would encourage you to do that. At this time, we're going to pray, and we're going to have you in your homes just pray about how God has blessed you in this last month. And so be specific, but someone lead in prayer and just talk about how the Lord has been good and give him a thanks offering.
Thank you, God, for allowing me to spend some more time at home with my family. And actually having them all in one place. Allowing me to continue to work. To continue to eat. And to have shelter and clothes. Food, and with my family around, companionship. You supply all of my needs. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. You have been so, so good to us, even while we turned our back on you many times. But we want to lift it, a sacrifice of praise, to praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. And I pray that we would be faithful to recognize your goodness and faithfulness and to continue to thank you. We love you very much. I lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness
is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Sing all my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
You've been faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
How great the that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living home.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to where my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven.
Declared the grave has no claim. on me.
Rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
This morning, I start my sermon, and I must say, I am greatly concerned for the unity of our church, and not only of this church, but of every church. And here's what's going on. 6 weeks ago, we were in this sanctuary, and we were all worshiping together, and all was good. And now this pandemic has hit full force, and in a real sense, because I have talked to dozens and dozens of people, there is a great divide. On one side, if you would, if we split this church in half, on one side is the side that says, hey, we got to listen to everything the governor says, and we should hold to every single word of what she says. And they're passionate about that, and for good reason. For many, their loved ones have health issues, and for many, it's a matter of life and death. And then on the other side, you have people who are saying, no, this is a overreach, and it's unconstitutional, and we're called to live free or die. And then there's this big spectrum that goes from one side to the other. There's people in the aisle way that's like, I don't know what to do. And in a real sense, everyone is anxious. Everyone is uptight. And this morning, I just felt like the Lord has laid upon me a word that I think will hopefully bring comfort to wherever you find yourself this morning. And so I encourage you to stick with me to the end. We're going to start where we were last week. We're going to start with Easter. Last week, we celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want us to put ourselves in the disciples' sandals for a few minutes. Can you imagine the roller coaster their life must have been? You go back to Palm Sunday, and Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and they're laying palm branches down, and they're saying, Hosanna in the highest, which means save now, save we pray. And that's great. It's like, wow, finally Jesus is getting the recognition that he deserves. And then within a week, they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And they see Jesus nailed to a cross. And he's buried. And then 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. And they went from despair to joy. In John chapter 20, in verse 24, it says, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of his nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe, which seems like it's a bit much. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He had seen Jesus calm storms. He had seen him feed 5,000, heal people, cast out demons, and raise people from the dead. And Jesus told him, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rebuild this temple in 3 days. So his words that I will never believe seem a little on the dramatic side. You know, I can't help but think that there's a few of the other disciples kind of rolling their eyes. It's like, look at Mr. Cranky Pants here. He won't believe. And yet it says in John chapter 20, verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, which that would have been a great scene, the doors are locked, and then Jesus appears among them and says, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And what does Thomas do? Does he say, you know what? It's about time you showed up. Come here. Let me poke at you. He doesn't do that at all. He falls down and in worship, he says, my Lord and my God. And then John 20, 29 says this. Jesus said to him, you have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus pronounced a blessing on all people, including us, who would one day believe in the Easter story, in his death, his burial, in his resurrection. And we had never seen God. And we come to see this again, that this blessing is poured out in the passage that we're looking at today that Sandy read. In this book of 1 Peter, I just encourage you to go through the context, to look at all of what is being said, because he starts off with really the whole idea that he has opened our eyes. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead. And then he goes to detail our inheritance in verses 3 through 5. And then in verse 6, he gives us a different perspective on our trials. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he comes to verse 8, which is my first point, and that is, the proof of opened eyes, or I could have said more proof of open eyes. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Which is pretty interesting coming from Peter, because Peter had seen him. He had walked with him for 3 years. Jesus had personally trained him. He was part of the inner circle. He was with Jesus face to face. He was the one who was that inner circle and said, I will never forsake you. And then he denies him 3 times. And after the resurrection, Jesus comes to him and he tells him to feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And then he says, do you love me? He says, yes, I do. And then after that, he says, feed my sheep. And so Jesus had seen him. And there's been this debate over the years. And I know ever since I've been a Christian, we'll be in a Bible study and people will be talking and they'll say, you know, would it have been better to be one of the disciples and see everything Jesus did? I mean, if you saw Jesus feed 5,000 out of nothing, you would have said, that's it. I believe I'm good forever. I'm not going to question anything ever again. Or if you would have seen him raise the dead and do all the amazing miracles. And yet, in a real way, we have it better than the disciples did. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You see, we have God living within us. We have the Holy Spirit who permanently indwells us. Whether you're having a good day or a bad day, he is within you, believer. And I was thinking, how do I get this to sink in? Because it is the difference of meeting somebody and having a real personal relationship with somebody. I thought about it this way. Think about this. Who is the most famous person you have ever met? Just go ahead, you can at home say it out loud. Who's the most famous person that you have ever met? For me, it was the one and only Bob Hope, who, if you're younger, you have no idea who he is, but he was a comedian and an actor for, he lived to be 100 years old. And Bob Hope is back in the early 80s. Back at that time, I was doing a lot of proms. I had like a prom business, kind of, is a joke, but I went to a lot of proms. And I was out in Troy, and he was up at then Pine Knob, which I guess they call DTE now, and he had a show going on, and he was staying at our hotel where we're having our party, and he shows up and he greets all these high school kids. And he's walking out, and there's a table in front of, between me and him, and I take this table, I throw it out of the way, and I put my hand out, and I said, Bob! And he looked at me, and he shook my hand. And my life was changed forever, right? No, it wasn't changed forever. It was a cool story, but at the end of the day, I just met him. I didn't know him. And the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of the Easter story, the beauty of what Jesus has done in our lives is that we have that relationship with him, the God of the universe. It changes everything, which leads to the next point, and that is the evidence of open eyes. It says, though you see him, though you do not see him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That is what we're called to. When we know him and the reality of what he has done for us, it does change everything. Now, that phrase, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with joy, with glory. For some of you, this is going to be a hard one. But there is nothing in this world that you should be more excited about, more passionate about, than your relationship with Jesus. You and I, if you know Jesus as your Savior, we were hellbound. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. And because of his work in our lives, his grace to us, by grace we have been saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. He gave us the most amazing gift ever. My sins are gone. They're taken away. We sang a song. There'll be days it doesn't matter. Well, you know what? There are days that I act like a pagan, and so do you. And then we repent and we say, Lord, forgive me. And the great thing is, because of the work on the cross, he does not treat me as my sins deserve. What a glorious truth that we have. And so there should be great joy. There should be exalting in this. We should be giving glory to God. And some of you in a church service would never raise your hand. And I get it. This is not about raising a hand. But that spirit of having joy and being overwhelmed by what Jesus has done for you should grip every true believer. It really should. Now, there's just one more thing I want us to see in this is the reward of opened eyes. He says, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That word obtaining or receiving can be taken two ways. Theologians take it two ways. In one sense, it is literally being translated presently. You are receiving right now the goal of our faith. Christians now possess the result of their faith. In other words, we are delivered from the power of sin. I stand here forgiven. I am a child of God. I have been adopted. He has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. When Paul would write to a church, he would say, to the saints at Corinth, to the holy ones at Corinth, because right now, currently, I have that. And yet, in another sense, we are waiting for the full salvation of eternal glory, the redemption of our bodies. This body of mine is falling apart, and I don't like it, but it's happening. And yet, there's going to come a day when I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind can conceive what God has prepared for those that love him. And this body will be transformed and it will be a glorified body. Can you imagine? We will go a day without sinning, a day without being cranky. Wouldn't that be amazing? And that is what's going to happen. So in this, we rejoice. We know to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it truly is all good. But what if I don't rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory? Because I know right now I'm talking to people who's like, yeah, I get the theology, but that's not my life. Matter of fact, I am amazed and disappointed at the number of people who call themselves believers that are miserable, angry, irritated, frustrated, anxious, utterly joyless, consumed with what is going on in this pandemic, buying into all kinds of hate on both sides. And you know what? I'm one of those people. And I hate it. I absolutely hate that I am at times angry and irritated and frustrated and utterly joyless and consumed and wringing my hands. I hate it. This pandemic has sucked the joy out of life for many, and we've allowed it to happen. And you know who I can blame? Me. I can't blame the virus. I can't blame China. I can't blame the governor. I can't blame the president. I can't blame stupid people. You know who stupid people are? Stupid people are people who disagree with you, right? We all have our stupid people. That's the truth. You know, it's like, oh, those stupid people. Well, and I know kids are watching. You're not supposed to say stupid. This is a sanctified way of saying it. But I mean, that's what's going on. It is the reality. I can't blame the media. I can't blame anything. I have one person to blame for my lack of joy. Now, don't get me wrong. I can blame the president. I can blame the governor. I can blame the news. I can blame all these things. And you know what that does? That just makes me spun up. That's all it does. It doesn't help my joy. It doesn't even give me a valid excuse because of what he has told us. And brothers and sisters, we will be miserable if we get our eyes off of what God is doing through this. If you and I are believers in Jesus Christ, we have to have the faith that trusts that the Lord is the King and the Master of all that is going on. So I'm going to read this again in light of the pandemic. In this you rejoice. In our salvation we rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by all the junk that's going on in this pandemic. And by that junk, I mean loss of health, loss of jobs, loss of future. All these things are happening. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, might be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to see if we're real. Though we do not see him, you love him, and though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I just say this, I'm preaching to myself this because it is so easy to get spun up. Man, we could be watching the Family Feud at home and a commercial will come on, and every commercial goes like this: we're all in this together. So, wash your hands. And I got to mute it. It's like, okay, I know. I've been told. I'm watching Family Feud for a break, thank you. And I don't need it. And next thing you know, I'm getting spun up like a top. And it's like, oh, what is going on? And I have to say two simple words to me when that happens. It comes from an old Bob Newhart skit back on TV. Two words. And you know what the two words are? Stop it. Stop it. That's what I got to say to myself. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T. We got to stop. All this spinning up that is not glorifying the Lord, it's not helping us. It's causing spin up in our lives. We do need to stop it. And you say, I can't. I can't stop it. I can't do it. And this is where, as a Christian, we go to God's word. So here's what God's word says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. You know what this world's doing? This world is running to two extremes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And when we do that, we say, Lord, give me your mind in this. Give me your help in this. He will help you. He really will. Let me give you another passage. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. And this is money right here. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Not on, you know what everyone's saying right now? It's like, when are we going to get out? Is it going to be May 1st? No, it's not going to be May 1st. When is it? I don't know. But you know what really helps me? Set my minds on things that are above and not on the things of this earth. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. In Christ, I died on that cross. My sins were paid for. I am united with him. And he says, you died with him. Your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We're not going to have these struggles anymore. And then he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And I got a lot of earthly in me that I need to put to death. This is really no joke. This is what we need to be living out. So, point five, how do we set your minds on things above and not on the things of the earth? That's a real question. This is where the rubber hits the road, because we know it in theory, and yet I've seen good, godly people on both sides getting spun up like crazy, and I'm one of them. How do we do this? How do we put the things off? Well, I will just say this. Christians have a huge addiction problem. And I'm not talking about to opioids and alcohol, though there are some that really battle with that. I am talking about our addiction to phones, computers, televisions, constant news. I'm just telling you what goes on with me. And maybe you guys are all much holier and you're better than I am. I'm happy for you. I could sit there and I can start to watch the news and I can literally feel the thumping in my neck. It's like, what, you know, and I get angry. Start to get angry over it. And it's like, what is going on? And so I'm making a plea to say, wait, we gotta put these things in check. Now I know. Some of you are saying, oh, great, he's going to get legalistic on us. He's going to make rules. He's going to tell us what to do. Well, here's what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And I really think, the time we spend on our phones, the time we spend researching this, one side or the other, the time we spend talking about it, the time, our mental time, we spend wringing our hands and thinking about this and what's going to happen. And don't get me wrong. There's some people on one end, they're going to get sick and die. Then there's others that are who are worried about losing everything, and they're going to lose everything. There are people right now, they're going to lose their businesses. And there's going to be people on this side that people are going to get sick and die. That's the reality. And yet hating each other and shooting at each other is not setting our minds on things above, but on the things of the earth. And we're not to do that. And so I plead with us, I really do, to start to put off things that are not good for you. And only you can do that. You got to do that for yourself. I'm doing it for me. You know what? This week, I did a tremendous job just blocking it. I even told my wife. She'd be on Facebook looking at funny stuff, and she'd say, oh, I just got an article. And I'd say, stop. I don't want to hear it. Why? Because I know me. And I'm going to get spun up like a top, and next thing you know, I'm going to get here. And I just say, nope. And sometimes I had to walk away from her. It's like, oh, but this is really good. They found a cure. And it's like, yeah, everyone's got a cure, and, and there's no cure. And so I look at all of this and I say, I got to guard my soul. All things All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And you got to figure that out. All things are, you can do it. You can do whatever you want, but are you dominated by it? It's something that I've been thinking about. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Fruity Pebbles with marshmallows. They are fortified with 8 essential vitamins and iron. And you can have Fruity Pebbles with marshmallows. It's glorious. But if you eat them all the time, you will be sick. It is something that you can take in moderation. My family will tell you, on vacation, they will give me a box and I will eat it pretty much in one setting. You know, it's not the healthiest thing to do. If I did that every day, I wouldn't fit through the door. It would not be a healthy thing. And so it is that whole thing. It's a good thing. It's lawful for me, but I don't want to be mastered by it. Not, and so when we look at this, what's going on? Here's where we need to be. We need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We've been given this time to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, not news about the virus, not this spin over here or this spin over here. We need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So I end with this. I end with a call to fasting and detox. Now, fasting is something where you normally willfully refrain from something. Normally, it's eating. And detox is when you just, you are so absorbed with something that you go through withdrawals and you get away from it. And so here's my challenge that I'm calling people to. Stay away from the news. Take your phone and some of you could never do this, but don't look at it. And even if you don't look at it for 6 hours, that will be 6 hours where you can just rest. I mean, I thought about this. Wouldn't it be glorious if we were all transported up north, and I'm talking UPville, okay, where there's no internet, there's no cell signal. You were forced to just sit there with your Bible and your family. What would you do? No news, no TV, no binge watching. I mean, that's another thing. There's people who are spending hours and hours binge watching stuff. And again, we have the freedom to do it, but be careful. We're taking in hours of garbage and then we're spending 2 minutes in the Word. And I just think, okay, we need to take a step back and say, okay, I need a cleansing here. I need a cleansing of all the junk, of all the virus talk. And I need to focus on King Jesus, who, by the way, though I have not seen him, I love him. And I want to be filled with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. I want to be happy in the Lord because he's got my life. He's got your life. I don't care if you're on this spectrum or you're on this spectrum. He's got your business. His children won't beg bread. And on this side, he's got your life. And if you perish, you perish. To live is Christ and to die is gain. We're all there. And my plea is for us to act like a Christian should. There's going to come a day when we're going to be back in this room together. And I want people to be able to look each other in the eye without the, oh, you're one of those. You know, we don't need that. And so I go back to the passage. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So I pray that we would take this in, that we would live this out, that we would have faith that as we go through this trial, that we would know that it's for a little while. Grieved by various trials. But he's testing our faith that it would be more precious than gold, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though we have not seen him, we love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to pray for us right now. Lord, I come as a sinner that you have saved. And Lord, I confess that there have been times that I have been spun up like a top by just watching 30 seconds of news and getting angry and irritated and frustrated and worried. And Lord, all of that is sin. You have called us as believers to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to truly fast from those things that are not helpful and those things that are getting a hold of us. I pray that we would be faithful to you and that this would be a tremendous time. So Lord, bring us back from the edge. Help us to be praying and trusting you and in your word. And Lord, do your work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are not going to end with a song, but we are going to end with a time for you to talk about this with the people that are in your house. And if you're by yourself, talk to yourself and talk to the Lord about how you need to limit some of this stuff. You might need to confess some of it. You might need to be honest about it. You might need to get some accountability. But let me encourage you, turn off the phone. Put it on airplane mode. Don't turn on the TV. Spend time with Jesus and let him cleanse your soul. And he will do that, and you will be happy. And God will use us because we are his. So take these next few minutes, wherever you're at, to spend time dealing with the Lord. Bless you and have a great day.